And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind, so they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba Podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba Podcast.
No one sang.
No, it was a
no one was singing along.
It stands on its own.
It was weird.
It needs no help.
There's our gold for the week, by the way.
The guy called in with that laugh.
That's Greg's. He was so happy. It was like a squeal of happiness. Thank you, Greg, for that, because you made it to the golds. The podcast this week is going to be brought to you by Castrol GTX Magnatech. A lot can go wrong in 20 minutes, and your car's engine is no different. You know how that is. You want to make sure you're taking care of it from the moment you turn that key. So up to 75% of engine wear normally would happen during warm-up. But with Castrol GTX Magnatech, they have intelligent molecules that cling to your engine like a magnet, and it provides you with instant protection from the very moment you start.
OJ Simpson is free. I don't care. Sean Spicer resigns. Also don't care. I care more about that than anything else. Isn't that sad? What's that mean?
He's going to say, hi, everybody. Hello to those who are watching on the live feed on Facebook. And hello to you if you're listening to the podcast on whatever podcast app you use. Hello, Patrick. What do you care about?
Not much.
You're not into the Sean Spicer resignation. No, you're not into the OJ freedom thing.
No, I don't care. I didn't watch any of the OJ thing. But yesterday we made history in here because we have three TVs in the studio. And two of them are always on CNN and Fox in case something happens. One of those two is always going to be covering it, right?
Right.
The other one is on SportsCenter because we're dudes. This was the only time that in all the time we've been here that all three TVs were simulcasting the exact same thing.
ESPN because he's an athlete.
It's O.J. Simpson, right?
He was an athlete?
But it was on ESPN, CNN, and Fox. It was on all the TVs in here yesterday at like whatever time that was. And you know what? I still didn't watch it. Because I don't care.
I didn't watch it. I did not watch it.
No. I guess a lot of people care, I think. Not sure why.
The bank just called me a couple minutes before we started the podcast, and you guys got to hear it. My bank calls me. Okay, so apparently my mortgage number has changed. Like, apparently, you know, they have something that some under whatever. I don't know. Something about my mortgage has changed. Like, $100 a month is my house note's gone up. So they called to tell me that, hey, we're so sorry, but you owe us money. Can you get us the $100 you owe us? And I said, well, it's on auto pay through your website. How is it that your auto pay system doesn't recognize that you're charging me a different amount? Oh, yeah. If your auto pay is set up through your checking account, it doesn't recognize the mortgage system. I'm like, well, wait a minute. It can accept money from the checking account, and it will automatically pay it from the checking account. But if the amount changes, even though your person set it up, then it's not going to recognize that. They're like, oh, we're so sorry. And there's an $85 charge for being late. I'm like, are you kidding me?
This aggression shall not stand.
No, it's not going to stand. So I'm sitting here talking to somebody from the person. I'm like, oh, look, can you waive this fee? I said, I don't mind paying what I owe, but I'm not going to pay a late fee for something that is your problem because your computer system can't talk to your other computer system. Oh, yeah, sure. So they transfer me to somebody who can, apparently. And that person proceeds to tell me, oh, no, click. They hung up on me mid-conversation. I am so frustrated with that. I'm like, that's the kind of stuff that, you know, here there are certain things that you expect to work perfectly all the time, and your banking system is one. And if they can't handle a transaction from an automatic transaction that's set up in their system from one of their computer systems, the checking, the online banking, to the mortgage system, then they have a disconnect.
You need to make somebody cry?
I don't know. It just tells me that they're not very good at what they do. If their own systems can't talk to each other, how do they handle my money? What little is left?
Listen, I made a lady at Bank of America cry 2 days ago. I'm not above it. Just, you know, give me the phone number and the account information. I'll take care of it.
U.S. Bank is who I have that through, and I've had them for years, through moves and everything. They need to fix their stuff. I'm mad.
You don't sound mad. That's the problem.
I am mad.
Yeah,
I
that is
mad.
A problem.
That is a problem. He
kept using the word, that's just silly.
That's just
silly. I said it's silly.
Yeah, no, it's not silly. It's wrong.
Yeah, you need to say your wording is.
I did say it was dumb, though, at one point. I said, this is dumb.
Most of the time.
Oh, dumb, yeah.
Most of the time.
Woo, man. Well, I'm not. That's a lot tougher than silly.
You guys are being dummy.
Well, I'll be honest with you.
I can't believe you made these silly mistakes.
Well, the first one was a lady. And I'm not going to sit there and start yelling at somebody.
Don't yell.
No. Yell.
It's not about yelling.
Because
it's about telling.
You see people who try to assert their position of dominance, you know, and they go, oh, well, I'm gonna go ahead and I'm going to yell at this person, and they're going to cry and whatever. And I couldn't do that.
Nothing you've said
so
far. Nothing you've said so far sounded wrong, just for the record.
Okay.
These people are not your friend, okay? Do you understand that? This is not like the lady at your neighborhood bank. This is, no. You got to get stuff done.
A lot of
their
people
job
are saying
is
that,
to confuse you and mess you up. You get it done.
A lot of people are saying that sounds like someone scamming you. Did you call your bank? You know, I did. I did get something.
That is, you know what?
What?
That is a little scammy. They call you. They try to get you to pay it over the phone.
And then when you don't pay it, they hang up on you?
Yeah. And when you.
No, I got a thing from the bank like a month ago saying that my mortgage was going to change, the amount was going to change, and I called them, maybe it was 2 months ago, and I called them and I said, hey, I got this letter saying that it's going to go up $100, and they said, oh yeah, it's because something or other, some shortfall in the escrow and this and that, and I said, okay, well that's fine. I said, I'm on auto pay or something, and I swear I had this conversation with them. I said, I'm on auto pay or whatever, and is that going to affect it? No, shouldn't affect anything, just, you know, just watch your account, and that was it. And they said, you know, let us know if it doesn't change. And to be honest with you, maybe that's my goof because I didn't go back and check their math. But, you know, either way, I don't mind paying what I owe them. That's the silly thing. But I'm not going to pay a late fee. I pay it. I put it on automatic pay so I don't miss a payment. So I'm not late. And if it's on auto pay in their system, shouldn't it recognize how much I owe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm not crazy here.
No.
Okay.
You're just too nice. I've already said it twice. Man.
I think I'm going to have to go to my branch.
Let me give everybody some helpful advice. When you're dealing with bureaucrats, ask one time, okay? When they tell you there's nothing they can do to help, stop asking. Start telling. Okay? That's the most. People are too apt to get walked over by bureaucracy. I'm sorry, sir. There's just nothing we can do. Yes, there is something you can do. This is what you're going to do. And if you can't do it, I want to talk to someone with the power and authority who can. Not that hard. Eventually, people cry a little. You get to talk to their boss.
And the sad thing is we know for a fact, after hearing Patrick deal with the phone company
and the cable
last
company,
year.
Oh, and the cable bank, company.
But it was the phone company the most. It was the phone company one that was the most because they charged us a couple $100,000.
$108,967.43.
Of course, you have that memorized.
I have it memorized because it was a lot of money.
Yeah. And you got it fixed. You got the whole thing fixed.
How long did it take?
14 months. You know why? Because most people give up in that time, but not me. And not over $108,000. I might have given up over $108 and just paid it. But no. You don't give up.
That day. I remember you coming in going, okay, guys.
Guys, I got bad news.
They're saying we owe 100. Well, yeah, it was 100. I think it was.
It was 88,000.
Yeah, I thought it got more and more.
Yeah,
and well, we don't owe that. That's their fault. That's not us. Sound familiar, Bubba?
Mm-hmm. Sounds very familiar, actually.
You need to go to the bank and take Patrick with you.
My favorite is still the guy from the cable company. We had paid the bill every month, and then there was like a computer error where they just decided we hadn't paid the first month's bill. And it just came back and said we owed it and it was late and all this other stuff. And I was like, no, we paid this bill every month. I go to our business manager. I have the canceled check. So not only did I pay it, but I have the copy of the check that they cashed. So I know they paid it. I know they cashed the check. So I'm telling the guy on the phone at the cable company that I have the canceled check. I know this was paid.
He goes, this is for the internet, right?
Yeah, it's for our internet and cable. And the guy goes, can you fax that to me? No. No, I can't. He said, why can't you fax it to me? And that was it. That was when I lost it. Because it's 2014 and you're my damn internet provider. So you will accept this in an email as an attachment. And the guy literally goes, I hear him kind of, you know. Yeah, he goes, well.
Yeah.
You could email it to me, and then I can print it out, and then I can fax it to the, listen, brother, if that's what you have to do to make yourself feel better, that's fine. But it's complete, if you're still requiring people to fax you things.
Especially now.
In 2017, you are trying to get them to screw it up. I had the same problem when I got a ticket.
You're saying that they're trying to
get trying to get you to screw it up. They want it to be a bigger problem.
They're going to make it as many steps as possible so you don't...
I got a ticket for having expired... For having expired license plate.
Is that like a Chevy, like a Fjord?
Fjord.
Can I go on now? Yes. I got a ticket for having an expired license plate, expired tags, okay? You know how it is. You have to go get the... You have to go get the new tags, and you have to send proof that you got the new tags.
Right.
And then the fine's only $15 or whatever instead of whatever it would have been. So I did all that, and I faxed it to him. And I even got a return, like a thing saying that my fax had been received, sent back to our fax. I had to go to a friend of ours' office to use their fax machine because nobody has a fax machine. All right? We don't have a fax machine. So... 6 months later, I get a notice that my license is suspended because I didn't pay this ticket and because I never got proof of the thing. And I'm like, what? I go. The first lady I talked to said, I'm sorry, sir. We can fix this right now if you pay the original fine of 100 and blah, 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 plus fees. It was all a scam to try to get you to pay the bigger fine. So I finally get in charge of like the guy who's the head of the billing department for the city and chew him out and say, this is you're intentionally trying to get people to screw this up.
It's like bullying.
Yeah, because if by making people send a fax, you're trying to get people to screw this up so that they're late and then you threaten them with Homeland Security is going to get you if you drive with a suspended license. That's what the letter I got. Okay. And so when I called and he goes, absolutely not. I'm offended that you even suggest such a thing. I'm like, really? Then why did the first lady I talked to today say there was nothing I could do except pay the larger fine? You're full of it. This is a scam. You're literally scamming us
indirect taxation. That's what that is.
Oh, we're going to need you to fax. Anytime anyone says, don't fax anything. If someone says you have to fax something to them, they're
scamming. That should be a red flag.
That's a red flag.
That's something
that
you can
take care of. That's a red
flag
that you should be doing business with someone else, if at all possible. Because no one needs a fax. How about I take a picture of it and text it to you? Because it's 2017.
Yeah, I do. I dealt with this guy. He was, when I sold my airplane, I dealt with a guy who was probably almost 70 years old, was the guy in their office. And, dude, he was great. We were PDFing stuff back and forth. I'm like, this guy gets it. You know, I thought I was going to have some issues. Dude, it was the easiest thing ever. It was so great. No faxes required. He was cool.
We're going to need you to make a copy of that and fax it to us. Then we're going to need you to get it notarized and stamped and send that copy in triplicate to 4 different addresses in handwritten letters.
Oh. How's your day, Big D?
I feel you, man. There's a lot of scams that go on and you know, we think it's, you know.
We put up with a lot of junk.
We do. And I'll tell you right now, state of North Carolina has a scam going on with their
speeding. Tell us. Preach on, D.
Yeah, we had a little discussion. You know, we had Parmalee in the studio today, and they're representing North Carolina. I mean, the name of the album is their zip code. And Big D's like, oh, yeah? Oh, yeah, you want me to tell me my North Carolina? I just went through there driving and got a ticket.
Yeah. Yeah, they have a whole thing. If you go over a certain – like, I got pulled over. I was doing, 72 and a 55 or something. And I mean, I'm not fighting the fact that I wasn't speeding. I was, but the guy comes up, doesn't give me, you know, doesn't even give you a warning. It just does it. It was over the 4th of July holiday. We're going into the Outer Banks, and it's on that last stretch of road right before you get in there, and everybody wants to get in. Well, I didn't realize that's a big – it's like a speeding trap. Like, I was like, why is everyone going 55 miles an hour? I'm like, dude, go – go 60 at least, right? So this guy gets me. Anyway, he comes over and goes, all right, so here's your ticket. I say, you're not even going to try and give me a warning at all? I've already printed it. Fucking print. Okay, all right. I got you, big guy. So go ahead. And he says, all right, so anything over 70, it's a mandatory court appearance in the state of North Carolina. And I go, why?
Mandatory? Why?
What do you mean? I have to come back to your county
to go to court for a traffic ticket.
They don't expect you to go back.
I go, dude, of course they don't. I go, you mean I can't send you a check?
Now, here's where everything gets a little...
What?
That's where the cop tells you...
That you... Where the scam comes in.
I get you. Yeah, that's right. He says, well, when you... And he says it like he said it 1,000 times before. Well, when you get a ticket, you'll get a bunch of letters from lawyers to your home address, you know, that can, they will, you know, represent you. You don't have to come down and do it. And I go, oh, I got it. So
it's a scam.
This is a scam
between the county, the lawyers, the state, and local lawyers
so that they get their $300-$500 to represent you while they, you know, and they down, you know,
by the way, that's not normal, and that's also a giant scam. I mean, it's completely...
Of course it is. What do you mean? What are you talking about? Why can't I just send you money?
Yeah. In the mail, like everybody else. Can I log on to your website, put in the number of my ticket, and pay the fine
just
right there?
You, if you're in North Carolina, slow it down. Just go the speed limit exactly.
Or else you're going to end up having to hire a lawyer to represent you in court and all that
stuff. Got home, like 5 days later?
Letters
25 letters from attorneys. Jesus. 25 letters.
That's crazy.
Yep.
How is that legal? You know why? Because lawyers make the laws. Because all the people in the state legislatures, they're almost all lawyers. And so they're all buddies. That's why that'll never get changed. That kind of stuff.
You mean the same thing with term limits? Because the people who would have to vote on term limits are the ones who would be affected?
There's no tort reform because, you know, all these reasons. Listen, and that's great.
Government really, at pretty much every level, is a scam. I mean, it really is. There's really always somebody, even at the lowest level, on the school board, there's somebody who's getting, you know, a little something-something on the side. There's a little take at every level of government, from the councilman all the way to the White House.
Yep.
Everybody's on the take. And don't let anybody tell you, oh, no, my side, my red or my blue or whatever side that I'm on isn't. They're all
on the take.
All of them. Watch House of Cards.
There's some. And it even, like you said, it goes down to local level. It goes down to our homeowners association sent out a thing saying, hey, you can't have portable basketball goals. If you're going
to
do a basketball goal,
it in the ground.
It has to be a permanent goal.
And here's the number for the guy who installs them.
Yeah. Well, no. But it was close to that. Then there's all these. It just seems like lately all these things coming out. Hey, if you don't leave your garbage cans to where they're viewable from the road.
My neighborhood throws. If I get a little letter on the mailbox if I leave my garage door open. I'm like, are you kidding me?
And it just goes on and on. So finally, I'd had it. I was getting all these emails, and I'm like, dude, what is up? Why is this not what we moved here for. You guys want to be this, like, ritzy neighborhood that's next to us, we're not, okay? So chill out. Stop with all the – I said, you got two old ladies who don't play basketball, and they are over there in your ear, and all you just spout it out, whatever they say. That's a new rule. And I was like, you know what? I'm sending an email. And I wrote this email. I'm like, what am I doing? I don't even care. I don't care that much. And, like, I do care that much. Or I wouldn't have been open. No, you really don't. I ended up not sending it. get home. Kathy goes, I sent an email to the Homeowner Association. I can't believe And I go, oh, my God, I was about to do the same thing. So this guy replies back, oh, you know, here's why. And, I mean, I can't imagine anyone who wouldn't want their property values to go up. You know, it's that kind of
really?
Thing.
Really? Because a couple of neighbors having
basketball goals,
that's going to lower your property value?
Honestly, a removable goal is actually probably better for the property value. If you see a goal with wheels on it and somebody comes in, a prospective buyer, they go, well, at least that can get moved. That's
exactly
not permanent.
Right. Exactly right. And so at the end of it, now we have a no solicitation rule, big sign you come in and on wood, you know, it's all etched in. It's, you know, they take it seriously, of course, because that's what they do. And I looked down and he's replied to this. She replied to his email that he'd sent out as the president of the Homeowner Association. She hit reply. He sends back a thing from the same email address. And at the very bottom, you know what it says? His name. And it's got the signature is of his realty company. And I went, you should send it back to him and go, I demand that you take that off your email as you're representing our development. You're not trying to get new business. And we have a no solicitation policy. I mean, don't you remember?
You're getting him on a technicality, man.
That's right.
That's right.
And then I said, you replied to that and you go, I'm just kidding. What I just said is just as dumb as what you've just said. Stop nitpicking.
Did he say anything back?
She didn't send it.
Oh, yeah. You know,
those are my favorite things. And this is something great. We get people who are mad for something we might say because people hear only half of what we say a lot of times.
Yeah.
So we'll sit there and it's kind of fun because I'm going, I'm replying. And I'll sit there and I'll defend us, you know, like with a sword. Shink! Here we go. Type. And I'll make this email and whatever. But it's like it always comes off whenever you write an email when you're emotional, it always comes off in the worst possible way. Even whenever you're trying to be nice about it, you're still mean. Yep. And people will pick up on that in the email. Yep. So if there's any little piece of advice we could give you and you and you and you and any one of our 17 listeners is never send an email at least in the first 24 hours if you're reacting to something. Give yourself time to calm down. Because if somebody's scathing you for something, even if they're wrong, you're going to be ugly in your reply email, even if it's unintentional.
And
you
can't read it.
You don't read it the way they're going to read it. They don't read tone. So they're going to put whatever tone in your mouth, in your words. And it's dangerous.
Yep.
I always tell my wife all the time, I'm like, Stace, why did you send that email? Well, I had to. I'm like, yeah, but you know, we have a rule, dude. It's like, I mean, we've talked about it several times. I'm like, yeah, but you weren't supposed to send that because you're way too angry. I wasn't angry. I was being nice. I'm like, no, it still comes off as angry.
Yeah.
Don't send those emails whenever you're mad. It's bad.
It's bad.
It's bad, bad. I am sending an email to the bank, though.
You need to go to the bank, dude.
I am going to go to the bank. Misty says, my husband had some issues with them, blah, blah, blah. He says, fight it. Oh, I'm definitely going to fight it. I don't mind, again, going back to it, I don't mind paying what I need to pay. But I'm sorry. It's not my fault that they didn't get the $100 difference because their system doesn't recognize their own system.
Yep.
You know what I miss? I miss the election.
Dude, the election's still going on.
The election is every day. It's like high school now. It never ends.
Here's the thing, man. Everyone trying to get Trump on something, and whether you're pro or whatever, or don't care, if you keep at it and at it and at it, what happens is eventually people who were on your side kind of go, okay.
Yep.
And they turn, and then it actually hurts you the more you keep bringing stuff up. And it's human nature.
And that goes both ways. It was the same thing for the people attacking Obama.
Yep.
You know, when you go way overboard, people can read through it.
Yep. Yep.
And they
yep.
know that it's all politics.
Yep. Yep. So, tell you what, you really can learn it. You brought it up earlier. You really can you can learn a lot from watching House of Cards. I did. I learned a lot from watching House of Cards.
Never get in the van and drive out in the desert.
Never.
Ever.
That's stupid.
Never go to the subway with Frank Underwood.
I meant to tell you guys, there's a guy that I know whose voice is identical to, what's his face? His right-hand man.
Doug Stamper.
He sounds just like Doug Stamper. I'm going to call him. I'm going to see if I can't get this on the phone.
Okay. While you're doing that, Maddie wants to know what our thoughts are about O.J. Simpson being able to exit prison in October.
Who cares?
That's our thoughts right there.
Here's the thing, though. Okay, I said I don't care, but I'm going to say something.
Here's my thoughts.
Here's why. People are like, how can you let him out? Here's why they let him out. Because the judge who sentenced him to, 30-something years for this crime, that's the max amount that they could do. Okay?
He sentenced him, obviously, harshly.
She sentenced him.
Harshly because she felt that he was guilty for the Nicole Brown murder.
That's wrong. You can't do that. You're a judge. You have to be impartial. You can't sit there and go, and I don't know that she did that, but she gave him a lot of years when everyone else associated with that, they've been out. Those guys have been out of prison. They did their 2 years and gone. He's there and he has to stay at least 9 years. I do not like O.J. Simpson. I do believe he killed those people. I will say, and I don't like his attitude. I think he's snarky and fake and terrible. But when it comes to the law, you can't go, well, I think he was guilty, so I'm going to give him extra years for something completely different.
Yeah, you can't punish somebody. That. You can't. It's like if your kid eats the Oreos and you punish them for not doing their homework.
That's right. And so I knew he was going to get out because it was overkill. He had, for the crime he committed, 30 years was overkill. You have to look at that particular crime. And he deserved to go to prison. He deserved to do his time, but not that much. It was too much. And so when he did 9 years and everyone's already out and has been out for a long time, I was like, there's no way that he's going to say. No way. I was thinking to myself, and if he does, they're going to cry racism.
I was surprised that he was not approved for parole in 2013 or whatever it was, a couple of years ago, whenever it all happened.
Me too.
Because, again, the crime that he was in for, I mean, look, we have much. I don't know. I was going to go deep, and then I went, no, you know, Bubba, punt.
Yeah, we're already.
I don't even want to talk
deep
about
on OJ talk.
I'm sorry we brought up OJ. I'm sorry.
All right, I have this guy's number. I'm going to try and call him.
All right.
Maybe I'm going to have to call him on my phone because he won't. Nowadays, no one answers their phones if they don't have you in their.
Yeah, if they don't recognize the number.
Because
you all think it's, hi, scammers. This is so-and-so, da-da-da-da. Press 1 if you'd like to save money.
Hey, man, what are you doing? Not much. Hey, hold on. I was talking to the guys. Bubba, where's the little artist? I was talking to the guys. Can I use this?
Yeah.
I was talking to the guys, we're on the podcast, that your vocal sound is very much like a guy who is on House of Cards, and they're like, oh, you got to call him. So, all right, here's David. Say hi. Hello, guys. Can you hear him, Bubba?
No, I can't. Oh, I know why. Hold on. Wait. I got to press the other button here. There we go, David. Sorry about that.
Okay, listen to David's voice. Tell me this isn't Doug Stamper. David, what are you doing right now?
I was just eating some chips, Derek. How are you doing today?
I'm pretty good,
wow,
man.
That is pretty Doug Stampery.
It is. Have you ever seen House of Cards?
No, I haven't. I've played a lot of cards, but I've never seen it.
Yeah, if he sounded a little more evil, he's got the same tone of voice, but
David, you're
his
a little
delivery is different.
He's a little friendly.
Yeah. You're kind of friendly.
If you were cold,
if you could not be quite so nice, David.
Yeah, that's just kind of the Yankee in me. It's kind of hard, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's Doug Stamper.
Yeah.
Anyway, the character that we're talking about is,
he's a guy who gets it done.
He gets it done. He's a go getter, just like you, Dave. He's a go getter.
Great.
Yeah.
See,
that was Doug Stamper.
That was crazy. If you watch House of Cards, you're like freaking out because you're going, "Wow, Doug Stamper's."
I think
on the
you
phone.
Guys are overdoing this a little bit.
What? You don't think he sounds like Doug Stamper?
No.
What?
I don't hear it.
Wow.
Well, whatever. All right. Well, are you guys knee deep in baseball tryouts and junk?
Yeah. Yeah, we've got a couple games this afternoon, a couple tomorrow.
Yeah.
Doug Stamper.
It is.
How's it going with you?
We had a tryout yesterday, just a private thing, and then it was like 8 or 10 kids because we can't be there at the other tryout, and then we got another tryout tomorrow, and then he's gonna miss two of them, but
two of the tryouts.
Don't they know who they're dealing with? You shouldn't even have to try out.
Yeah, whatever. I did have two teams that said he doesn't really. They did say they didn't need to, and I don't like that. I go, you know what? Yeah, he does.
Nothing should be given. I mean, that's like assuming Michael Phelps doesn't need to race at the Olympics anymore.
Yeah,
that's right.
Anybody can screw up at any time.
Yeah,
or be great at any time.
Hey, but he's raced a shark now, though. So if you race a shark, you could do anything.
He didn't race a shark.
Did he? Is that over with?
That's what I heard on the radio yesterday.
Well, here's the
thing.
They
lie on the radio.
Never believe anything you hear on the radio.
If you don't race the shark side by side with the shark, you're not racing a shark.
Yeah, I think they just did a timed thing.
Yeah,
right?
Timed is dumb. Yeah. That's like saying I raced it. I could run out into the parking lot right now and jog and say, I raced Usain Bolt.
Yep, you're exactly right.
And it's not the same. It's not.
You guys, it's a technicality, guys. He raced.
Whatever. All right, Doug. Doug Stamper. It's good talking to you. Thank you, Dave.
He's a little Scott Borchetta. Scott Borchetta too.
I don't hear the Borchetta.
Oh yeah, Patrick. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Now that I hear.
Yeah. There's
I
a little Scott Borchetta in there too. The guy who is
maybe
Taylor
what
Swift's
I just realized
boss.
Is Scott Borchetta is Doug Stamper. Holy crap!
Oh my god!
Oh my god!
You know what?
That's like curly headed Doug Stamper.
That changes everything.
That makes so much sense.
Of course, Taylor Swift signed with him. Of course, she did.
Wow.
Yeah, imagine. Remember when Taylor came in and we're kind of like, dude, I never thought it was going to be. I remember the day when
she sang Tim McGraw, the very first song she ever did.
The fourth time they brought Taylor Swift to the studio before she even had, she had only had two songs out on the radio. And after she left the fourth time, D looks at me and says, man, I just don't think it's going to work.
I mean,
they keep trying, and God bless her. She's adorable, and I think she's really sweet, but I just don't think anybody's buying this.
Well, the song wasn't taken off. It took a while.
All of a sudden,
that song was out there for a while.
No, Tim McGraw was not a thing, and then Teardrops on My Guitar was not really a thing, and then Our Song came out and shot up to number one.
Our Song, and that is a great song.
Still a great song. Listen to that and go, wow, that's a spectacular song.
It is.
That Taylor Swift wrote when she was 14 years old.
What was the second one? Tim McGraw and then what?
Teardrops on My Guitar.
I like Teardrops on My Guitar.
I know. I'm just saying.
It just didn't blow up
like
Our Song.
It wasn't a huge hit like Our Song was a huge hit.
Yeah.
And then it started. And I remember coming in. It was like January. And this had been, we'd known her for a year at this point. I came in and I went, you guys are never going to believe who has the number one album on the country charts right now.
Oh, we guessed everyone.
Y'all guessed five different people. I'm like, no, Taylor Swift. And D's exact words, that little girl?
Seriously?
Yes, that little girl.
And so Taylor becomes a thing, gets bigger in country,
huge.
And then goes into pop, CHR, top 40, and then obviously was even bigger.
She's like
there.
The biggest pop star in the world
yeah.
right now.
And, well. And enormous, and then left. And then people in country were kind of like, oh, yeah,
they're
we'll
mad.
Just stay out.
No,
you know,
no
yes,
they
there
weren't.
Was. Yes,
no.
they were.
When
yeah,
she
there
started.
Were
yes, there were.
No,
some, yeah.
I'm telling you, you got the whole thing. Will you let? Give me a second. When Red came out. And
it was
poppy, and it wasn't she didn't come out and say this isn't a country record. Country people were totally against her. When she made 1989 and said this is going to be a pop record, I'm going to do a pop record. Everybody all of a sudden was kind of like, okay, we'll see you later. Come back if
right.
you ever want.
No.
Like
you're
it
right.
really
you're
turned.
Right.
There
you're
was
right.
a period where everybody was anti Taylor Swift in on Music Row.
Yeah, you're right.
And then all of a sudden she said, I'm
going
to be a pop
when
star.
When she embraced it, everyone was kind of like,
okay, well, have fun.
Yeah, it was great.
Come
so
back
I like
when
her.
You're older.
Yeah. And then and now
you know,
I feel
true.
I feel
I
there is
true.
A I feel that there's a real like she could come back and everyone would be like, Wow.
Absolutely.
We thought you were pop. Holy crap.
Listen, girl, we had no idea. We apologize for everything we ever might have said.
Our bad.
Not we, but, you know.
Just didn't realize.
We didn't know where it was going.
We had no idea that was about to happen.
Okay, listen, Taylor, you left. Sit down. You are not going to believe what happened after you left.
Listen to this Thomas Rhett song. You are going to freak out.
Listen to this song from Keith Urban and Carrie Underwood.
Yeah.
I mean, listen to, you name it. I mean, we could go down the list. It's so crazy. I mean, to think that, you know, there were people who thought that Taylor was pop back then. Mm-mm. And now they would be going, that's out of their country. Just ain't the same as when I was a kid in 2014.
I try not to get into that. You know, because it is...
what's country and what isn't and
all
that.
Yeah, because...
It's dumb.
Remember, who do we have in here talking about?
Everyone?
We've had a lot of people.
We've had this conversation with a lot of people.
The Hall of Fame and Museum guy?
No, we're talking about Randy from Sony.
Yeah, from Sony. Mm-hmm. The president of Sony.
Yeah.
And he made a great point, and I was kind of like... I was appreciative to hear it, because I was kind of like, okay, finally... Okay, I take that. I can understand that. And he was saying that... When who was it that came out and they're like, they're playing steel guitar? They added steel guitar.
That was Peter from the Hall of Fame. That was I brought that up. It's Hank Williams. Hank Williams was the first one. Hank Senior had steel guitar, and steel guitar was like this weird electric space sounding instrument that wasn't country music. And quite frankly, Bob Wills had a drummer, and that wasn't country music. That was before Hank.
And now we consider it country if it has a steel guitar.
Right. Steel guitar is, that's country.
Yeah. Bring back the steel guitar.
Bring back the steel guitar, when there was a time when that wasn't.
Yeah.
And it's always been a thing.
We need more ukulele. I think that's what we need. We need ukulele, and I would like to hear more cowbell.
Oh, God. Bubba's just being weird now.
Cowbell.
Purpose.
More cowbell.
Yeah, we got
Hi, Carson.
Anyway,
Carson has joined us now.
We were talking about Taylor, and the funny thing is, so she was at the ACMs to accept a 50th anniversary ACM with the same time we were there. And, oh, no, it wasn't that. It was at the CMAs right before she left. And I think it was Brad that said, you know what? Look at all these pop stars and all these celebrities and all these actresses who became famous when they were teenagers and went completely nuts. And look at Taylor, who handled it. You know, she's had some weird little...
She had relationship issues.
Controversy. Yeah.
But nothing
she's still 26?
Yeah, she hasn't gone Britney.
She dated around. Okay.
Y'all ready for this? Taylor Swift is going to be 28 in a few months.
Oh, okay.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, Taylor Swift is going to be 28 years old in December. That little girl, that little 16-year-old girl that used to come by here with her guitar. Hey, guys.
She was 15. She was 15 when we were MySpace buddies.
Yeah.
She was like, can you listen to my songs?
That's hard to wrap my brain around.
I know. Yeah. 28 years old.
I would have said 22.
Well, it's because of that song. You know, I don't know about you.
No, it's not. It's because she looks 22. Well, maybe it is. I don't know. But I just threw that out.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, that was depressing.
When Taylor Swift turns 30, I think we're all officially ancient.
I can't wait until she. I hope she gets fat.
Just to even out the playing field.
Yeah. Nah. So I can go.
Patrick's been losing weight. Maybe she'll find it.
Yeah.
Patrick, man,
he's almost 50 pounds.
How much?
Almost
50 pounds.
This morning it was like 48 pounds.
Dang. I thought it was like 38.
No. And you're doing it old school Atkins, right?
Old school Atkins, low carb.
Wow.
I feel like if I could lose another 100 pounds, then maybe the girls who send me messages on Snapchat and Instagram will actually want to meet me.
Let's talk a little we got to talk a little Petrecha.
No, we're really not going to talk about it.
#Petrecha. So Becca and Patrick together, Petrecha, still have yet to meet. And
I don't think it's
sad.
Ever going to happen.
You don't think it's ever going to happen at this point?
I agree. I don't think
but
it's
But you guys happen. Talk several times. Like, she calls you on her way to work every day and all that, right?
Here's the thing. That's fine. You have a friend. I don't see why it's... You have someone that you...
None of my friends call me on the phone 3 times a day. And that's not a friend.
Marry me, do they?
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Well,
but she doesn't want to meet, so...
Well, you know, some of my friends exist in real life.
I think I've reached.
Oh,
wow.
And you guys are making fun of me.
No, you know I heart you, and it's really not you. I think you've been all in. I would like you guys to meet.
I was all in, and then you know what? I'm kind of out now. I'm not. I'm just losing. Whatever. I'm losing the enthusiasm about it because it's dragging on too long.
Unexpected. It's unmet expectations.
Yep.
You thought it was one thing, and it's not. And so now you're kind of like, okay. By the way, that is the number one reason that marriages fall apart is unmet expectations.
Oh, well, at least, you know what? You're getting it out of the way before all that drama happens.
Thanks, Carson.
Carson is
always
Carson.
Looking on the bright side of life.
We're so cute.
Hi, just so y'all know, we are all nerds.
How do you know they're nerds?
Well, this has been fun, kids. Have a great weekend. And thank you, Greg, for that. And Bubba, to tell us thank you to our fine sponsors.
Yes, a lot can go wrong in 20 minutes. We've done a 40-minute podcast. So much has gone wrong. Your car's engine is no different. Up to 75% of engine wear happens immediately during the warm-up stage. But Castrol GTX Magnatec, which we are all going to put in our vehicles this week because we have talked about it and we're like, this is where we got to go because we want to save our engines. Castrol GTX Magnatec has intelligent molecules that cling to your engine. If you throw that and it lands in my mouth, that would be gross.
We're throwing things at Bob as he's talking.
It has intelligent molecules that cling to your engine like a magnet, and it provides instant protection from the moment you start. So there you go. Right, Greg? Greg says,
have a good one, everyone.
This was the podcast, but now it's over.
Now that's okay. Now you say
to the regular show on the radio every day.
Okay.
It was the podcast.